Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Real Growth Podcast. I'm Nick Pompeian, your host for the day. Today, we have a really special guest by the name of Sunny Prabhakar. I have now known Sunny for over 20 years. This is just going to be a lot of fun because Sunny is a serial entrepreneur. And he is literally a serial entrepreneur in the sense of a serial entrepreneur. And so I think we're going to have a lot of fun today because, you know, born and raised in Rochester, we both have kids, entrepreneurs, a great story. So let's just get into it right away. Welcome, Sunny, to the podcast.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, man. Excited.
Yeah,
excited.
I mean, yeah, thanks for being here. How's the day so far?
Day is great. I mean, we can't be mad now. I mean, we're in March and I've already golfed once this year.
Dang.
You know?
Really?
So this is a good start.
This is a great start. Wow. When did you golf?
Last weekend. It was cold. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We had like an 8:30 tee time. It was cold, but it was worth at least getting out there and swinging and trying it out.
You're ahead of the game. That's awesome. Watch out, everybody. Make sure you pick up Sunny for your golf teams or all the charity golf tournaments out there.
As long as it's the best ball scramble, we're good. We're in a good spot.
Great. Yeah. He's yours. Sunny, let's just start with a really easy question. Who are you?
You said it was an easy question. I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah, just like tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, you know, growing up and all that stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, I'm a husband. I'm a father first. And I think you alluded to that earlier. Yeah. You know, I have two amazing kids, a boy that's in kindergarten and a little girl that we just had. So our family's complete. No more kids. You know, yeah. We're good. But yeah, I grew up here. My parents, you know, immigrated to the U.S. from India and Sri Lanka. And my dad went to Ohio State for school. That's where they came and then got a job with IBM and moved to snowy Rochester, Minnesota for that. And we've been here since the 80s. I think the interesting part of like that whole of where we are today, like in Rochester culture versus then, is like there was four Indian families when my parents moved here in
crazy.
The 80s. And now when I go to like the high schools and we're doing talks and stuff, like I'm seeing it everywhere. It's such a way different experience than when you and I were at Mayo.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
Things like that. So, but yeah, you know, went to a few different schools before I got to Mayo and then, you know, played soccer and tennis for Mayo and ended up going to Drake University for a couple years. And then, you know, dropped out at, it depends on where you want to go with the story, but there's a lot of different, you know, places. But, you know, today I'm running, you know, Aventi Entertainment. With my partner, John.
Yeah, it's super cool.
So we can definitely talk into that.
Oh, but we have to talk about that.
And then also building a software company, you know, with this company in California called Bevy, where we're really focused on like the community and event space, specifically for like the B2B, you know, software companies like Google, Meta, are some of our big clients, you know, today, and really expanding that out and growing into different verticals. And so leading the sales team from that side. So it's been
a fun
adventure.
So this is going to be really fun because there is a lot to talk about here and a lot to unpack here. Because when I say Sunny is a serial entrepreneur, he is truly a serial entrepreneur.
You make it sound like almost like a serial killer. And, I don't know if it's a good thing.
I think it's a great thing. I think it's an awesome thing. So Sunny, I think the first time that I remember not meeting you, obviously I knew you in high school, but from a business standpoint, I mean, we're going back. I don't even know how many years. You could probably tell me, but I remember Bucky was working with you and you were doing like nutritional shakes.
The smoothie store?
The first thing that I remember in your like, you know, journey in your career.
Absolutely. I mean, like, so I think we'll take one step back from that and then we'll get to the smoothie store part. But basically, you know, music was a big passion of mine. Within high school, I had a band and all those kind of things. And when I went to college, like we had a radio show. We were the only hip hop and R&B show in the entire state of Iowa. So because of that, we got all the promoters coming to us. We got to bring in really cool special guests like, you know, DJ Drama and Tyga. And then we ended up getting a deal with Warner Electric Atlantic and Bad Boy Records. And so we were like the college representatives for like when they had a new artist they wanted to break. And those kind of things. And so they, because of that, you know, built some really cool relationships, you know, within Des Moines for like the venues and started doing concerts and promotions and that side and really building out the business side of using that radio show, which is really just an hour, like on a Friday.
Yeah.
But leveraging that into a lot bigger, you know, business experiences. And that's really where I dropped out of school. I think I figured this out, you know, 19 years old and, you know, we're making some money and things were going well. And then, And this on the back home in Rochester, you know, I'd met Alex Wu, mm-hmm. who was Lil Craze, and we were building our own record label at that time. And I was started out on the talent side as like a, you know, one of the MCs or, you know, rappers at that point, but quickly realized that, you know, my the skill set that I could bring to that team wasn't necessarily on like the talent side. It was more on the business management side.
Sure.
And recognizing like, I'm not the coolest guy in the group. Like, I'm not going to be the one that's going to be on stage or have like the stage presence that those guys did. And so like, I really gravitated towards like the contracting, the business side and building that out. And we did some incredible work, you know, a lot of it, you know, built on Alex's marketing skills, but you know, 3 world tours, number 5 album on iTunes, like all from his, you know, closet recording studio here in Rochester, Minnesota, like, YouTube partners, you know, all these pieces. So in that early stage from that 19 to like 21 year old, you know, time frame, we got to get exposure to a lot, right? Like learning how to communicate to these record executives on that Lil Craze side or that KID side, but also in Des Moines, like, you know, negotiating contracts and like doing a lot of outbound business sales from that side. And
That's crazy because like when you think about that, not many 19 or 20 year olds have an opportunity like that. And I think oftentimes people say like getting into business, how do you get into business? Sometimes it's just simply doing.
Yeah.
Like, look, I don't know how you feel, but my time in college was wonderful. I wouldn't trade it for anything, Sonny. I truly wouldn't. The connections that I made, the friends that I made, it was truly a magical time in my life for sure. But I think I never studied business or anything in college, you know. Everything that I learned was from actually just doing.
Yeah.
And I'm 100%. Curious to see, like, you know, maybe yours very similar, because what were you planning to do when you went to college? What was your original plan?
Yeah. I mean, so I'm the type of person where it's like, when I like something, I like it, and that's it for life. Right.
Yep.
When I was growing up, my brother was born in Sri Lanka. And so like my family was always like, I figured out that I was the only one that could become president of the US. Because I was the only one that was born here. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's what I'm going to be. So at one point, you know, my dad had got me like this map of like all the presidents and like what their occupations were. And I was like, well, 90% of them are lawyers. So I'm going to be a lawyer.
Got it.
So I went into school thinking like, okay, I'm going to study international business, marketing, and then I'm going to go into business law. Just like pivoting like all of my stuff into like what that was. But anyway, so, but I went to school and like, yes, completely loved the freedom, the social aspects of school, totally got it. And like, that's where I built like a ton of new relationships, connections. Yeah. And I chose the school I went to purposely because I didn't know anyone at that school. And I saw it as an opportunity to like build a whole like network of people and really grow in that way. But I got really soured by the whole higher education experience because literally I was taking an information systems class, like Excel, PowerPoint, you know, kind of piece.
Yeah.
And I had a 99% in the entire class. And I was like, the only thing left was a final. So I didn't show up for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Turned in the final. I was actually traveling to India with my family in the summer, looking at my grades, and was like, I failed the class.
Because you didn't show up.
First, if she failed me on the final, which failed the class. And the final was literally like, create a PowerPoint presentation on like, whatever you want. So I called it was the Dallas Cowboys PowerPoint. Like it was like the easiest thing. It wasn't like some like test or something, right? So I went and like I came back and I was like, hey, I want to meet with you. And she's like, yeah, let's meet. And then I met with her. And I was like, she's like, you didn't show up the last 2 weeks of class. So it was clear to me that you thought it wasn't worth your time.
Wow.
And so I failed you. Wow. So like she had tenure. Like there's nothing I could do. Like that was it. And that one F put me on academic probation. It didn't allow me to join the fraternity that I already pledged because like you have to have a certain GPA, you know? It just like...
Well, it was a major turnoff. I could major totally see that.
Major turnoff. So like it was that and a couple of other things, but like, you know, I still went through the motions and did school and like for a little bit, but then my whole thing was like, oh, this music thing, that's what I'm like passionate about. This bit like building a business or creating something, like that's what I want to do. Like I'm not learning anything new. Like I don't need to understand supply and demand economics to like build out like this business. And so like, that's what I wanted. And I really, really, really wanted to become an A&R. So that's like someone that like discovers talent. So like, let's say you're a singer. I'm like, hey, like I want to give you a recording contract, right? Like you make someone else's dreams come true and like really build, put the machine behind them and like see them grow. Yeah. Like that was really what I wanted to do. Like that's where I found value. That's why I got behind Alex and like really wanted to see him grow. And like, same type of situation. So I had all these promises, did a bunch of work for free. And it all fell apart. Like none of that was true. Like none of those people like had the authority to like give me any of those positions that they had promised. Like it was just like a bunch of like smoke and mirrors, which is like the music industry in general. Sure. Like my story is not unique.
Yeah.
But basically at the end of it, like, you know, ended up, you know, getting in trouble down there and moved back home with nothing, like no degree, no money left. Moved back in with my dad.
So now it's time to start over.
It's time to start over. Yeah. So I started selling, phones part-time inside, like not at, like at the T-Mobile store, but like inside Walmart and Sam's Club, like putting up a folding like a table, put a tablecloth down. And I was literally like making commission by selling phones inside there. And I was working Kohl's overnight because I had time, like you know, work two jobs to like make it work, you know? Plus I needed to get out, like I had debt stuff too, like just like dumb college debt, you know, like credit cards, whatever. So did that for a while. And then like when I moved back home, I was 215 pounds. Cause like, yeah, I think like I'm staying up till 2-3 in the morning. You're going to Taco Bell after. There's no workout routine. There's no nothing. When I went to college, I was 147. So like it was a huge swing.
Yeah.
And I recognized that in myself too. I was like, I got to take this stuff seriously. And so I started working out. I started eating right. And those nutritional shakes, you know, helped me lose 65 pounds and get down to like 165. And because of that, I was like, well, let's open a business.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, for sure.
Maybe I can help other people do the same thing. And Bucky helped me find the space. Yeah. And we opened Blueprint Nutrition on Elton Hills Drive, all the while still doing, you know, all the other three things that I was doing at that time. It's a lot easier in your 20s to do so many other things, you know, you know, right? Like, no kids.
For sure.
I wasn't married, you know, yet. You know, obviously Indira was still with me there. But, you know, so we opened Blueprint Nutrition and started doing the healthy shakes. And that kicked off a whole bunch of chain reactions that actually led to Aventi Entertainment even being created. But yeah,
that's awesome. And so look, he's laid a nice, really, like, you know, hey, this is what was going on. So we're getting to your story, and this is going to get really good because so Blueprint Nutrition, what happened with that? I honestly because it was like, oh man, like Sonny's in town, he's running this nutrition shop on Elton Hills Drive. Like I know exactly where it was, like everything. What did that teach you? Because with all these things, right, they teach you stuff. And I think 100%. that's really important about this, because we'll obviously get to where you are today, which is pretty amazing, to be honest with you. But it's just incredible, like the story here. But what did you learn from, you know, those first, let's call it the first two experiences? We're not even going to call them failures, because they weren't. They were not failures.
Yeah.
I don't view these things as failures. There's learning opportunities that maybe something happened and you learn from them to make things better next time.
Yeah, I think like a couple of things, right? Like with Blueprint, there's some things that like I need to own, and where like I didn't have 100% focus on the business.
Yeah.
And I should have.
Yep.
You know, I was there every day, but there's so many more activities that I could have been doing that could have turned it into something more than it was. Like it was still profitable. Like we weren't losing money at any point. The other part was like, because of that, I think other people in the business, you know, sensed, you know, either weakness or sensed like, you know, like, oh, maybe I could do this better than he could do it. And they started working with like our competitors that were downtown.
Sure.
They tried to open their own spot. They were filtering, you know, customers out to like the new spot they were going to open. So like that all like eventually led to the demise of like, you know, that business.
Yeah.
But then also it's like I wasn't paying my bills with that business either.
Yeah.
So it's like it's easier just to close it up and like we move on to the next thing.
Move on to the next thing.
I also went back to school during that time. I got married during that time.
Yeah.
We started the commission.
Yeah.
During that time, I got my real estate license during that time. Like there was like a lot of things happening all at once. And so like, I was just like, okay, like, is this adding value to my life or not? And like, do I want to fight for it or not? And the ultimate decision was like,
no,
we're just gonna let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we let that go.
Yeah.
You're with Indira. Your lovely wife.
Yep.
You get married to Indira.
Yep.
I kind of want to shift a little bit because that's a big moment in your life. That's a big moment in anybody's
life.
Huge. Right? It's probably the most important decision that you'll ever make.
Yep.
When I think oftentimes, Sonny, when you talk with other business owners and entrepreneurs, it's difficult sometimes to discuss and have conversations with them about what you're doing and why you're doing it and things like that. Obviously, we have, myself included, you too, we both have very supportive wives, which is awesome.
I think supportive is an understatement. Yeah, in my case, at least.
Yeah, no, but for sure. How did that go? Because obviously, she's on this ride with you. So what were the discussions that you had? Because this is a big deal. I mean, especially when you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, that time management, spending time with your number one, your wife, what conversations you have? Because I think this is actually super helpful. This is like real life stuff, right?
That
people need to hear and understand, like, gosh, you know, we all have our stories and how we did it, but like, and how we continue to do it because it's never going to stop.
Yeah. But
like, how did you approach that? And what do you guys do on a daily basis? How do you guys keep things fresh and new and like just talk to each other about and communicate about this stuff?
Yeah. I mean, and Darren and I have been together for a long time. Like, we met it when I was back home and I was working at JCPenney, you know, selling shoes, and she was working at JCPenney too. I literally saw her walking down the aisle and she was holding like hangers. And I was like, oh, that's the one.
That's the one.
That was the one. But I was like, she's out of my league. So I didn't even like try all those pieces. But shout out to her best friend, Brenda, who worked in the same department as me. Like when I asked Brenda for her number, because I tried talking to her a little bit, Indira was like very standoff. If you know Indira, you know, yeah, she's like not going to give anybody the time of day. And Brenda gave me her number and we haven't stopped talking since. But during that time, I mean, she stayed with me like when I went back to Drake to try to make school work, yeah, and then ended up dropping out. Didn't tell her I dropped out. Like, she stayed with me through all that entire process. And so like when it comes to, like you said, it was like a big decision, you know, who you're going to marry. It was a no brainer.
It was an easy decision.
Though. Easy decision.
Yeah.
She helped me. She helped me rebuild my life. Like, you know, when I came back.
Yeah.
but I never made it easy. Right. Like, still was, you know, like you said, serial entrepreneur, like trying all these different things. And like entrepreneur wasn't really a term when we were doing all these business stuff. Like, you know, it's so funny when I moved back, like my dad was trying to help me out. I was like, well, come to the Minnesota High Tech Association thing and like, you know, just network with people. And like, I learned in, you know, Drake how to make a business card, and I think I googled or like Yahooed or something, like, you know, what is a person that like runs businesses that, you know, just not really sure what they're doing. I don't know what I googled. Yeah. And it came up with entrepreneur. And I literally put that on a business card. Like, this is like this is like 2008. Like, this is not, dang, you know, that,
yeah,
height,
no,
of,
wait, man,
of,
yeah,
that. And I didn't even know what that meant. But anyway, she helped me, you know, start Blueprint Nutrition. Like, she was with me painting till midnight, you know, before we opened. Me and her, like, I think with the big thing is just like really keeping communication front and center. And I had to learn that the hard way too. Like, you can't like hide things. You can't, you know, try to skirt the rules. It's just like, that's your partner in crime and like, or partner in what you're doing. And so like, you know, making sure that everybody's on, that you're on the same page with her first, like I'm on the same page with her first, is like super important to me. Yeah. But she also like knows who I am too. So like when I had the opportunity to open a rooftop bar, like she's like, and I totally, I gotta do this. She was like, yeah, you need to do this and we'll make it work. Like, I had a newborn son, like it was a bunch of stuff, right? But she's also like quick to remind me of like when I wanna do the next venture, and she's like, remember when you did that thing and it didn't work out? Like, she's also like the person that keeps me the most grounded.
Yep.
And like who I will always trust with like, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. And she'll give me her honest feedback of like, I think this is a good idea. I think it's not a good idea. I'm a big risk taker. She's very risk adverse.
Yes.
So we complement each other really well.
Yeah.
In that space.
No, yeah. I think that's awesome. And you know, Rochelle and I, it's very similar. And it's like having another business partner, right? I
mean, yeah.
It's awesome. And having someone, well, Indira herself is, I would say, an entrepreneur now too.
Yeah,
I
she mean, is, yeah.
This whole thing is so awesome. We could like literally, I think, spend like multiple podcasts talking about like the years of Sonny Prabhakar. I think we could do like chronicles, right? Like, this is just, having that person that supportive person to help you along the way, that person that you can go home to that, you know, at the end of the day, hey, it is what it is. And you know what? We're going to make it through and we're going to figure this out. It's pretty awesome. You know, there are people out there that don't have that. And there might be other things going on. Communication. I agree with you. That is the biggest thing. And, you know, communication with your wife or husband, it is a really big thing, especially when you're running your own business, because it's hard. Really hard. It's really, really hard. There are no, you know, hey, here's my paycheck, and hey, it's, you know, 8 to 5 or whatever. We don't have that, you know, and it's we're always on, right?
Yeah.
I know that's something I usually tell Rochelle, is like, Rochelle, like, I always have to be on. Like, yeah, we can take breaks, of course. I'm not saying like it's like, oh, we're working 24/7. That's not true. But, you know, we don't have the traditional lifestyle of a Monday through Friday like a lot of people do, right?
No, you're taking calls at 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and you're, I mean, now with like, yeah, with the DJ stuff and the venti stuff, like, yeah, you guys are 10 o'clock at night. You're getting started. So anyways, well, thank you. I know that was a little bit of an aside, but I think that's it's a very critical part, because it's also who you are as a person, right? And you're here, you know, and you're doing the things that you're doing. It's not only because of you. Yes, you're putting in the work and stuff like that, but you also have the support behind you.
100%. I think too, is just like, it's important to know that, like, yeah, we have a great working relationship today, but like, one, it took a lot of time to get there. Yep. And then two, like, it's not perfect.
No.
Like, we're still trying to figure it out too. Like, it takes constant adjustment. Like, you literally have to be intentional about your time, especially when kids come into the play too, because that takes a lot of time, and it's been two kids, you're splitting time between them. And so I think the key is like, I think Rob Dyrdek talks a lot about, like, you know, how to, you know, be intentional with your time, especially with your spouse, and like why that relationship is so important. And like, you know, making sure that she's number one. Like, a lot of times you say like kids are number one,
I agree.
The wife is the number one.
Wife is number one.
Because if she goes away, the kids are still going to be there, but it's a way more difficult conversation.
No, I think that's exactly right. Someone told me that too. It's like, remember who your number one is. Like, before we had Nadia. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it's like, who's going to be your number one when you have your kids? Like, when you start having kids. And I was like, well, you know, it's going to be the kids, right? The kids are comfort. Nope. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was just like, oh, the light bulb went on. I'm like, oh, Rochelle's number one. He goes, yep. He goes, never forget that. So it's a really great point, Sonny. All right. We love our wives, but we did get them in there, which is actually pretty awesome. I'm happy we did. Let's now get back to the story. Okay. So now Blueprint Nutrition is done. What's going through your mind?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Bucky helped me find the space. James Keller, who I think we're in his studio right now.
This is crazy.
He did all the signage, you know, for me. And we were just talking about, like, there's no space for young professionals or entrepreneurs or business people to like connect and like really understand what each other are doing, to be like, oh, you can help me here and I can help you here, and like figure that out. And the only thing that was there at that time was the chamber, but the chamber was like antiquated and outdated, especially for like what we wanted. And I didn't want to pay whatever it was to pay.
Yeah.
Just being a, you know, young married couple, and we just started, like, all those kind of things. And so we're like, well, why don't we just get together once a month and we'll get breakfast or we'll do something. And we're like, all right, we did that. Well, why don't we just invite a few other people? Like, we told some other people about this and they're kind of interested in it. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So we kept doing that. And it kind of just grew like this organic thing. And eventually we're like, I mean, we're all entrepreneurially, you know, business minded, but like, we need a logo. We need a name.
Yeah.
We need, you know, something. You know, we came up with the idea of like the commission, like, this is our calling. This is what we're going to do. And we, you know, James, I think, came up with the first logos, and, you know, we built the business cards and we're like, okay, like, this is pretty cool. And then we're just like, there was a huge need. We just kept getting hit up all the time with these people are like, oh, I want to be part of that. I want to do this. Like, and what we realized is that, like, the ultimate goal for the commission was to give young people within Rochester a seat at the table, just help make some of the decisions that were happening within the city. But we didn't have the money to get us there. So it was time and talent that we used to do that. And so the commission, you know, we ran for 6 years. We ended up, you know, getting working closely with the mayor Brady to create Salute to the Fourth. Ran that for, you know, 4 or 5 years, turned Salute to the Fourth from like concert band and fireworks to like an entire, you know, festival working with Alec Majerus, one of the top skateboarders in the world, to do, you know, skateboard contests, and you know, brought in a car show with cars coming from Illinois and Wisconsin and Iowa to attend, you know, 250 cars, and, you know, shut down entire city block, and just showing people like you can do these things, right? And I think that, like, Jamie Sansabach used to say it all the time. It's like, roster is a blank canvas. You can make it what you want. You can do it. But it's very difficult. Like, you're going to run up against a ton of roadblocks, but, you know, you can do what you want to do here if you want to actually put in the effort to go do it. Nobody's going to stop you, you know? And there's not a lot of competition either. So we grew a commission, and, you know, we had, you know, multiple panels. I know you were a part of it.
Yeah,
and
yep, I remember those things.
We really focused on getting into the high schools and exposing people to, you know, different careers. It's crazy. Like, in 2016, 2017, you go into the high school and you're like, what do you guys want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. It was doctor, nurse, you know, like, it was all medical.
Same. Yeah. Yep.
But you go into it's not the same.
Not now.
Right. This year, after we moved back, I went back to the high schools. And I'm like, hey, what do you guys want to be? And like, I'm trying to run my own business. I want to go into marketing. I want to do this. I want, like, the medical field was the minority.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is like a huge shift. Yep. For the better, I think, especially for Rochester as a city. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so from the commission, you know, in our second year anniversary, I was like, oh, we used to do these anniversary parties where we bring everybody in and we do awards and all these kind of things. And I needed a DJ. And so Brittany Wilson, actually, who used to work for RGI. Nice. All these different connections. Yeah.
This is awesome.
She had recommended Gavin Boss, who was DJing at The Loop and things like that.
Yeah.
I worked at IBM. And so he did our second year anniversary, and like, we just hit it off from there. And we're like, man, like, there's so much more opportunity. I told him about my music background, and like, he's talking about him DJing from New Jersey and then moving here for IBM. And we started thinking about, like, we should just, like, revolutionize, like, the nightlife scene in Rochester. And so we decided to create this whole thing called Elysium with Tyler Ogg. You remember Tyler? So, and basically it was like, nobody knew anything about these parties.
This was fun.
But we
this
just released really tickets fun. And you didn't know who was performing, where it was at. You knew the date and the time. That was it. And basically people, you know, bought tickets in advance. We started rolling out slowly the details of, like, you know, it was a mass party or it was a, you know, animal theme or whatever it was. And then you get texted on the day of the actual location. And it was always like an empty warehouse. Bucky helped us a lot in, like, finding places. And then we turned it into like an entire, like, experience and nightclub and whatever it was. And so we did five of those across, like, all in different locations. And him and I just worked really well together. And then he was about to have a tech startup that was going to go and move to California, and he's going to let go of his whole DJ business here. So I had lunch with him, and I was like, hey, why don't we just partner up? I'll help you here. You grow whatever you're going to grow over there, and, like, we'll just figure it out. Like, there's no reason to, like, let all this stuff go. And, like, we'll start hire other DJs to help do, like, the gigs that you had and blah, blah, blah. And that was it. We shook hands. We inked the deal. And
that's when
that started Eventi Entertainment.
Which is so cool, because I remember, Sonny, wasn't there something like, I remember meeting with you and Gavin, I think at The Loop, for like lunch, and you guys were going to do like some digital DJ.
That was the startup. So him and James Jones, who was also here locally and DJing, they started.
Digital DJ.
It's called Spark DJ.
There we go. Yeah. Spark DJ. That's what it was.
So you have to ask him, you know, where it's at today, but they got accepted into Techstars in California. And so, like, it was a big accelerator, and they got investments from Sony and Universal, and they did the whole, like, you know, entrepreneurial startup thing. Is really cool. Really cool. But in the DJ space. Yeah.
In the DJ space. That's so awesome. So yeah, Eventi, this is like super cool, because you guys have just exploded. Like, I mean, honestly, like, it's so cool to see something that was, I would say, more localized. And now you guys have you guys gone worldwide? Would you be considered worldwide now?
We are, yeah. I mean, if the international stuff, we have a heavy presence in Canada, for sure. But we've sent DJs to Cuba, to Iceland recently. We send them all over the world. Yeah, it's been a pretty amazing journey
so far. This is, like, so cool. Like that's what I mean. This is so awesome, because it started, like, with you and Gavin, and now how many DJs do you guys have? And
yeah, I mean, we have 67 DJs, like, around the country that are, like, our core.
Yeah.
But there's obviously other contractors that we use, you know, from time to time to help fill the gig. We do 3,000 events a year. So we're all over the place, but it's been an incredible, incredible journey. I mean, you know, if you look at like from the, when we started in 2018
yeah.
up to 2020, we were really ramping up to like our best years yet. You know, like nightlife was better than it ever had been. Yeah. You know, I had the rooftop bar, we had the loop, you know, Dooley's was still going. There's all sorts of stuff locally that was happening, but we also were just getting into the Minneapolis market, as well as doing like mobile events and stuff. And so like things were starting to really pop for us, which was great. But then COVID happened.
Yep.
And literally, when COVID happened, you know, when we were just catching our stride, we had rented a house. Like we put DJs into that house and like, they were just like working, you know, full time doing DJ stuff. And like, we took care of the rent and all the other places. And when COVID happened, we're like, okay, we actually had just had bought all this streaming equipment. Just because like we were going to start doing like, you know, DJ streams, in addition to like what we were doing out in the field. Every single gig got canceled. Right. And we're like, oh, it's going to be for like a month or so. But no, that's not what happened, obviously. So we're like, okay, like we have this equipment. Like, let's just go live. Let's go live stream and like, let's do like an actual like show. Because all of these were living in the house. So like, it wasn't bringing new people in or anything like that. The biggest thing we saw was that restaurants were suffering, right? Yeah. In Rochester. So like, hey, we thought it was not going to last as long as it did, but we had cash. Mm-hmm. Let's go buy gift cards to all these restaurants and help them out. And we did gift cards, and we did called Beats for Dinner, and where people could like tune in, win gift cards to all these different restaurants. And then like we were just giving out restaurants for free, and we had no money coming in for like the foreseeable future. But because we had built out that streaming studio, one of our existing clients that was like sending us to all these different colleges was like, hey, like, can you do like the show from there? Like the different shows we were doing. And all these colleges booked us to do them, where before, like you or today, like we send a DJ out to go right. to a college campus, right. And then they come back, you know, and they're gone, you know, they're out of the loop, or they can't be booked on another gig, right? Now we were doing 3-4 shows with the same crew back to back, and like we thrived through COVID. it's just a crazy pivot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So being like really flexible and adaptable has been like a hallmark for like Eventi and like how we've been able to build things and never saying no. Right. So like if they're like, hey, like we want to do this show, like, okay, cool. Boys and Girls Club came and was like, hey, we want to do an entire virtual chair affair. Cool. Let's figure it out. Let's do it. And we did it. Yeah.
Did it.
We brought in Sherry Mukherjee, you know, the chefs, and like we did a whole virtual experience with the Boys and Girls Club. It's just like being like super adaptable and pivotal as long as it matches like to the mission and goals that you're doing. So like one of the key things that came out of COVID is like, we're not going to do weddings anymore.
Yeah.
Unless like a few, you know, a handful of ones that do it. And it's crazy because like every DJ company we talk to, like weddings are the bread and butter.
Sure.
We're like, we have bigger goals and ambitions of like what we want to do. Anyway, so fast forward to today of like what we're doing and, you know, 3,000 events. Like we have a few different core parts of the business. Big Bounce America is the biggest like bounce castle in the world.
Okay.
And it travels to different cities all around. And we put three to four DJs at every city, every stop it goes to. Now we have 3 tours that are happening at the same time. So there's 9 DJs at any time doing Big Bounce around the country. So I think this week we're in Phoenix and Albuquerque, New Mexico. Then we still have the college contract. So like we're sending DJs, like we just had DJs come back from Kansas City. They were doing an event there. And so we're doing those throughout the week and throughout the weekends that colleges are actually bringing us to campus to go do that. The other... and then we do the local residencies, right?
Of course. Yep.
So Elsie's Venue, and they just bought the workshop. Those have been amazing partners for us here. But then all of the U of M stuff we really own, like Blarney's, College Club, you know, TIFFs for St. Thomas. Like we do all the nightlife for them. But then all the frats and sororities use us for like their formals, tailgating. The U of M, we have a really, really strong presence and really good group of guys of people who are still in college, you know, DJs there to really facilitate that. But the more exciting parts of like what's happening within the business is 2 things. One, we have a joint venture deal with Friday Beers, which is this huge media company. Mark Cuban invested. Think of like Barstool, but for the college campus. And they've created this character called like DJ Press Play. Oh, yeah. And we're the management team behind that now. And you can see like on our stories and how we're using that. But that's been like a huge eye-opening experience because he signed a Diplo's label. And so like we've gotten exposure to a lot of different cool things But then on the side, we're also building now our own proprietary, like 100% owned brand called Wasted Tuition.
Yeah.
And it's fully focused on the college market. And we did like 45 shows, I think, this last year since launch. And it's just frats, fraternities and college experiences and bars and nightlife that are, you know, booking us and flying us out to go do this. And we're doing original music, we're doing content, we're doing the merchandise, like the whole thing. So it's almost like building a startup within the eventee.
That is so awesome. Yeah. So I'm super like curious about how did you land like the college stuff? Like you went to one and then it just spread? Like how did this happen?
A lot of it is Gavin Boss, right? Like he has a lot of the, like I consider myself an entrepreneur and a risk taker, but he takes it to another level. I'll tell you that he is so good. And he's really big on relationships, and relationships are the key to everything that we do, you know, as a company. And it's core tenet for us. And we were starting to do some of these like head silent discos on campus and those kind of things. And we had we basically had the Midwest territory for this bigger company to do it. But coming out of COVID, because we had done so well with the streaming and because other DJ companies were just non-existent, you know, after COVID, they're like, what if you guys just took over the entire US? I'm like, yes. Yeah. Wow. Yep. And so we've been able to grow that relationship, you know, from not only doing that, but also Big Bounce and like a bunch of other brands that they work with. And then we go do all the showcases, like, you know, if you're heard of NACA, but that's like where colleges like book everything. And like we do all the showcase with them. And we have a very like tight partnership throughout like all their brands. And they were only getting bigger, which means that we're only getting bigger. And it's just been a really great journey since then. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is so crazy because like to think about that, where you guys started and now where you are, it's amazing to see that amount of growth in that little amount of time. And it's just like kudos to you and John Gavin Boss for keeping like focused and really truly living and playing out your passions, because that is like serious. I'm not even joking, you guys. Like I remember the meeting where Kevin, Sonny, and I sat and they asked me to invest. I mean, I remember DJ, this and just spark. Like I vividly remember this. And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm giving you a couple hundred bucks. I don't know. Like, but I remember this. It's just, it's so like crazy to think that it started with an idea and now look at where it's taken you. I mean, this it's incredible to see. And it makes, as a friend, it's like, wow. Super proud to know this guy, like to like see this insane amount of growth. And like the other cool thing, Sonny, is you've been Sonny the whole time, right? I mean, I think that's what's, and that once again, I think that shows who you are as not only a business owner, but more importantly as a person. It shows your character. And I can just say, like, your story is like super just, it's like, it's mind blowing. And it's, it's something that should give like anybody out there like hope and like know that they can, like you said from the very beginning, you can do what you want to do. Like you can be who you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, I made a ton of mistakes that people don't need to make, but like, yeah you could definitely
learn.
But you
learned
it, yeah.
From those. I mean, yeah. I think that's what's the key thing here is that there's some people that don't learn. I do believe that. Some people will, it's like, gosh, why didn't you just learn from that? Why didn't you learn? You learn from it. And now look where you're at, man. And look where you're going. And so speaking of where are you going, obviously this is blowing up. I mean, all of this stuff is, where do you see, I mean, I see the sky's limit on this, but where do you kind of alluded to like what your focus is, but where do you see this going in the next couple years?
Look, I mean, I think we truly believe that Wasted Tuition has all the markings of being the next great, you know, college entertainment experience brand. So it's not just like a DJ, you know, team that goes out and does things. It's an entire experience, you know, for it. And so we see that as like really taking off to the next level. I think Eventi as a business will still do what it's doing today because really it's fully self-funded. Like we don't take any outside investment, and like that's going to continue to grow from that side. But I can see it like me, you know, eventually, you know, fully maybe going full time, or like even looking at like, you know, building out like entire teams of what we're doing. I think we're just so heads down in the startup phase that it's we see the potential, but it's tough to really know like where that all goes. But I mean, like I said, you know, from the beginning, right? I'm a husband and father first. So yeah, no matter what we do or how we do things, it's never going to take me away from those key priorities. You know, I'm building another, the great company with Bevy, and that's, I see, you know, being one of the next great companies within the software space as well. And so like, I'm fully invested in both of those journeys to see where they go. So yeah, I think it's just like kind of figuring out the ride. But I'll say like, look, I'm 35 now, right? So about to be 36. And like, this year is the first year where I fairly felt like I get it. Like, this is where I want to be. You know, like, I've done so many other things, been part of so many other companies, yeah, tried so many other things that have failed, where it, like, it feels really good to say like, okay, now it's just move forward. It's not like look left or right, you know, what the next opportunity could be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Having that peace within yourself and knowing that you found what it is that you were looking for in a business and what you wanted to do for a job is, I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people, you know, strive to find. And it does feel good to find that and to know, hey, this is where I'm at now. And I see myself for the foreseeable future. So,
but I think like a big key to that, right, is just, and it happened with the commission and it happened other places, but it's, you know, one time I got in trouble in high school and I can't remember who the assistant principal was. But he was like, look, you have a bright future ahead, you know, but you're going to be, you will be the average of the five people that you hang around with.
Yeah.
And you keep hanging out with this group, you're going to go down this path. If you hang out with this group, you're going to go down this path. And like the fact that like we built the commission, like part of that was like finding the people that were smarter, made more money, yeah, did better things than me to like put me to that next level. And it's the same thing that, you know, we do with BCI or like, yeah, you know, with our friends at Great Coffee. It's like surrounding yourself with people that are going to be better than you, wealthier than you, or whatever your goals are, yep, that are bigger or you know, more than what you're doing today has been the only key to success for me. I'm not the most talented person. I'll outwork anybody, but surrounding myself with like those people have been super impactful.
That's, and I would agree with you 100% on that. It's about the people that you surround yourself with, because it's, you can't do it by yourself. You're never going to be the smartest. It's about the people that you surround yourself and together you can really do something great. So I truly believe in that 100%. So, well, I know we're getting close to time here. So, gosh, this went by so fast because I like I said, I feel like we could have done this for like many hours, because I don't even think we actually touched the surface with some of this stuff, man. So I guess to close out things, Sonny, I guess what would you tell people out there that are listening? You know, what type of words of encouragement, or what could you tell people, you know, hey, I don't know what I want to do, or I'm thinking about this. Like what words of encouragement, or what would you tell someone that's trying to figure out, I guess, their work life, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I kind of live by the decades rule, and it's actually advice that your dad gave you that happened to put me in there. But basically in your 20s, try everything.
Yeah.
Try everything. Fail as fast as you can, try everything. Because like your dad told you when you were about to do the first hotel deal, mm-hmm, that I tell everybody, like it's stuck in my brain that if you're ever gonna go bankrupt, do it before you're 30.
That's exactly right.
I was like, okay, that makes sense. But like after you're 30 and now I see it and I get it, like you have a lot more responsibilities and things that like you cannot afford to do that with. So try everything in your 20s. And let's say you're already past your 20s. It's like, then it's just figure out who you can be around and what you value you can give, so that you can get the experience that you need to make the decisions that are right. You see so many like high school kids who are like, well, I want to run a business. I'm like, oh, great. What do you want to do? Like, oh, I don't know. Well, the only way to figure that out is by actually going to doing something. Go work for someone else. Go give like your own talents to someone else and like figure that out and see where your passions go. But like you just like waiting at home for like, oh, the next great business idea is just not, it's not going to happen. And I think like the other big thing is like, no matter if it's a small problem or a big problem, it's going to take it's going to take the same amount of effort to do it. And so if you're going to do something, make sure that it's going to have a big impact either on you or a big impact on like the people that you're going to be serving or, you know, doing things for. Because like if it's a small idea, like you're going to spend a lot of time on it. And at the end of the day, you're going to just be frustrated and really not have the rewards or the intrinsic value that you thought you might get from it. And you might learn something from it, but like just always think bigger, dream bigger and do something bigger, because that's going to help you get to the next level.
Gosh, this is awesome. I mean, honestly, I'm not just saying this because you're my friend. And I've known you for a long time, but seriously, man, like you're a true inspiration. Honestly, like you could write a book, man. You
could write a book.
I think that's in your future. Yeah. I think you could write a book because, like I said, I could sit here for hours and to talk to you about this stuff because, gosh, it's the journey has just been so awesome. And I, like I said, I'm so proud of you. It's so cool to see like where you're going because, like I said, I think the sky's the limit with what you're doing. And this is going to be a really fun thing to see. And look out for these guys because they're already very well known and they're just going to make it bigger and bigger. I'm convinced of that. So I appreciate you, you know, being here with us today, talking to us, giving you your story, your enthusiasm about life and business and just the things that you've done to get to where you are today. Because like I said, it is truly an inspiration. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are looking for that. And anyways, it's really awesome to see a local guy literally go international. And it's so cool. And the work that you've put into it, it just shows that if you work hard and you have a passion for something, you put your mind to it, you can do it, man. And
the right people. I think the right people around you, right? Because like, I'm not the smartest guy in the room in any of these businesses. Like, I think that's so key. I really appreciate you having me on. And I think like you don't get enough flowers for what you do, but you are one of those people that I surround myself with because of your mind and your knowledge and stuff too. I say like, look, at the end of the day, if people want to connect with me, they can. LinkedIn is going to be the best way. You know, find me on LinkedIn. It's Sonny Prabhakar. It's easy to find there. But I'm here to serve. So like we're working with a high school group right now about doing a dance in the summer. So like, you know, just things that we can do to give back to the community or like, you know, help other people think about their journey. Like I'm happy to do. I don't have all the answers, but I'm happy to be a sounding board.
That's right. And once again, very appreciated. Contact this guy. I'm telling you, like ask him questions. He'll like talk to him, have a coffee. I agree with Sonny. That's what we're here for. Look, we don't have all the answers. We're not the smartest people, but we oftentimes will know people like
exactly,
who can help
exactly,
us, right? Yeah. And that's what life is all about. So once again, man, really appreciate it. That's what we got for today. Thanks everybody for listening. Peace out.